What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're going to go ahead and grab a phone call. Pete in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, thanks for taking my call as usual. I got three things for you. I think your website is down as of about 5 minutes ago. I know we're on a delay here, but about 5 minutes ago,
okay, it's back up again. It's been under pretty much constant attack ever since I started the show 2 hours ago, and they like to do that because they know I'm not available to deal with it. But at the moment, it's back up and running again. I've got a lot of automated stuff that can fend them off. And like I said, I know this is Hillary's people because the DOS attacks are specifically focused on those articles, Hillary the Spy, the Clinton Body Count, and the Epic of Clinton's Mess. They're just trying to hit them time and time again. I'm sorry?
Wear it as a badge of honor, my friend. That's all I can tell you.
Well, you know, obviously we're over the target or we wouldn't be catching flack. And the more these people play this way, the more it becomes obvious they've got something they're afraid of. They've got something to hide. You know, and like I said earlier in the day, I realized somebody at Discus is scanning for posts critical of Hillary and alerting her little million-dollar goon squad to come on in and try and post a rebuttal. And the only rebuttal is, oh, wacko conspiracy theory. But again, the fact that the president of TEPCO has now admitted that, yes, they did lie about the meltdown when it all happened, is reminding the world that the conspiracy theorists are right, and the latest polls are indicating that nobody trusts the corporate media and government any longer.
Can I move away from Hillary and vaccines for a moment, if I may?
Sure, go for it.
Two, three days ago, I wish I would have called you. I took the day off on Monday just to watch the police press briefing. I don't know if you caught that. I haven't been able to find a recording of this. I know that ABC and the other mainstream outlets were showing it, but the police chief from Orlando, I don't remember that four-star general, you know those guys that wear those? This is funny for an old sailor like me. You know, I'm an old sailor, for civilians wearing, you know, four stars on their shoulders or on their collars. But the guy, you know, he was asked a question by the press. The person in the press asked, what happens if it turns out that some of those people were shot by the police yourselves? And the chief essentially said, it doesn't matter. That's all on the shooter. That's all his fault. You know, he brought this on. So what do you think about that?
I did see that. And, of course, the first thing I thought about was that shootout at the Empire State Building a couple of years ago. 9 bystanders shot, all by the police. And the Orlando chief of police acknowledged that, yeah, probably a lot of those people that were in that club were killed and wounded by the police and not by the shooter. Now we have this Orlando police officer who's gone public saying that the police were ordered not to go in there while whatever was happening in there was happening.
Right. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I mean, whatever comes out now is just kind of whatever comes out now will just prove the fact that we've been saying all along that there was something wrong. And, you know, the fact is they didn't go in until 3 hours later. Every time I see these videos, you see all these bullet holes and where they explode. I mean, they brought in explosives. They exploded some part of the building and were shooting the hell out of it. So I don't understand that, Mike.
Well, again, they keep changing the story. And for propaganda to work, it has to present a consistent, believable, alternative reality to replace what's really going on. And in this case, it didn't. It's not consistent. It's constantly contradicting itself. The physical evidence, the obvious fraud in the videos where they're carrying the guy toward the club, or they're carrying the guy until the camera stops, and at that point they just put him down. It's obviously a fraud, and we don't need to go into debating the trivia, okay, the minutiae. The government would love us to spend all of our time debating the minutiae, because that gives their online trolls a chance to come on in and tie us all up and waste our time and energy arguing about what really did happen. Look at the badge. Is this correct? And so forth and so on. At this point, we can all agree that, once again, we're being lied to. And it's time to get past that and start deciding, what are we going to do about living underneath a government and a corporate media that lies to us on an ongoing, steady basis? It's time to get angry about that. I can't imagine any parent who loves their child wanting that child to grow up in a nation whose government lies to them about everything, whether it's Saddam's nuclear weapons, false flag shootings, human-caused global warming. It's just endless. And at this point, I think people in the government and the corporate media are scared to tell the truth about anything. They're afraid we might actually learn how to tell the difference. So to play it safe, they lie about everything. So we never get to tell that they're bluffing. Anyway, going to take a second here to welcome our on-air affiliates back to us, joining our show. Pardon me. And we were talking with Pete in Florida. You got anything else?
Yes, sir. I just want to comment on that and say you've been so prescient the entire time about saying get over the minutia, whether it's 9/11 or all these other false flags. You know, don't waste the time debating on what actually happened. The fact is something bad happened, and we need to realize that and take a step back. My last thought for the day, my friend, is about the court's ruling on the Fourth Amendment there on Monday, basically putting a nail in the coffin. I don't remember that anywhere in the Constitution that says that judges are supposed to test whether a government employee is acting in good faith or bad faith, but that's essentially what hinged on the ruling with Streiff. I don't remember the first, you know, somebody versus Streiff, you know, when the cop was sitting out there and just, you know, carted the guy for no other reason. He was sitting out there based on suspicious investigation and, you know, caught the guy with methamphetamines or whatever, and the Supreme Court essentially said, so what if the search was illegal, or so what if the stop was illegal? We essentially found drugs on him, so it doesn't matter if, you know, the cops are doing anything illegal, so long as, you know, the warrant stands up to it. I mean, you know, they're just opening the door wide open. You know,
well, they've officially declared the United States a police state, where the police, no matter what they do, even when they murder innocent law-abiding Americans. And by the way, the police in the United States are murdering more innocent Americans than all the mass shooters and terrorists put together. That's the reality there. And they want to be immune from prosecution. And that is not what America is supposed to be, because the founding fathers created a nation in which everybody was subordinate to the law, from the baker in the donut shop all the way up to the president themselves. All follow the same laws and face the same punishments. But we don't have that anymore. Above a certain level of wealth, above a certain level of authority, you're immune. It's like we've returned to the ancient time of nobility, where the laws were only for the serfdom. And, you know, anybody who had a noble title was immune from prosecution. And that's exactly where we are. We're being, we could, instead of calling our society neoconservative or neoliberal, let's call it neo-feudalistic, because that's exactly where we're going.
You're right.
Okay.
Mike. Thanks so much. Enjoy.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thank you very much. We're going to let you go here. Now, getting back to this story that I mentioned a little while ago, up in Massachusetts, there is a glimmer of daylight. The Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts has opened the legal door to retry all of the shaken baby syndrome convictions in the state. And basically, Chief Justice Ralph Gantz ruled this month that this shaken baby syndrome case has to be retried, because evidence contrary to the supposed science behind shaken baby syndrome was not presented at the trial. And this opens the door. And this is going to be a good thing, because shaken baby syndrome is another fictitious disease like ADHD. It was invented to protect the vaccine companies. Because even though those mandated package inserts of many vaccines warn of the possibility of sudden infant death, When such deaths occur, the doctors and the pharmacists, they blame the parents. Oh, you shook your baby. You murdered your own child. These parents have just gone through the trauma of losing their child, and now they're hit with this accusation they murdered their own kids. Some of these people have been sent to prison. And if you look at the definition of the symptoms of shaken baby syndrome, they line up exactly with adverse vaccine reactions. There is no firm evidence of shaken baby syndrome, and there's a lot of evidence saying that these deaths of children are caused by other causes. And that was the part that was not allowed to be brought into the court. And that's why Massachusetts just said these cases all have to be retried. There was evidence out there saying that the claim of shaken baby syndrome wasn't really proven, and it was simply not brought into the court because we have to protect those vaccine companies. Do you remember following the Sandy Hook shooting? A group of Connecticut citizens tried to invoke their state's equivalent of the Freedom of Information Act to get Adam Lanza's medical records because there were reports from people who knew him that he was on psychiatric medication. And we know there's a long history of these medications provoking outbursts of extreme violence and suicide. And now they're finally owning up to the fact that these SSRIs don't actually treat depression. So it's all downside and no upside, except for the pharmaceutical companies who are making money from these medications that 25% of the American population are now taking. And by the way, they're addictive. Guaranteed income. And while these citizens in Connecticut were in this meeting to get these records, they were joined by a gentleman named Patrick Quanishay, who was an attorney for the state's medical examiner office, who came on in and made the statement that even if in this one case there had been a link between prescription psychiatric medication and Adam Lanza's supposed rampage, that wasn't important for the public to know because they might stop taking their proper medications. And then when you look at how present big pharmaceutical companies are in the Connecticut economy, you begin to see the monetary motive for wanting to keep a lid on it. And of course, Patrick Quanishay is completely wrong. It's not that one case. Go over to SSRIstories.org and you will see hundreds and hundreds of these documented cases, including instances where the court said, yeah, this person was perfectly okay until they took the medication. All right, we're going to grab ourselves a phone call. Frank in London, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I just want to go into a topic about, as you know, tomorrow we'll be voting for either to stay in Europe or exit Europe. And yes. I've made an interesting experiment. Now, I'm what you would call a second-generation black British. I mean, okay. I was born in Britain sometime in the 60s. That's from the people who immigrated or migrated to Europe from the Caribbean. It's interesting that when I talk about exit, and I'm for the exit because we have a corporate takeover of nationality. You've got an influx not only from the Middle East, but you also got people coming in from Eastern Europe, and the builders here, the British builders, are not getting work because they can do the work cheaper. So therefore, it's driving down, basically driving our standard of living. But I'm listening because I'm black and I talk about Brexit. Hardly anybody really wants to challenge me, or they would challenge me, but not use words like you're xenophobic or you're a racist. But I realize I've got some white colleagues and friends. If they say the same thing, they get another label. They're either xenophobic or they're racist. And it makes no logical sense.
Any logical sense. I mean, if you look at this from a logical point of view, it is logical for Britain and all the EU member nations to get out of the EU. It's been a raw deal from beginning to end, and there is nothing racist about feeling good about your country, whether it's Great Britain or the United States of America. And all these politically correct morons running around saying that flying the flag of your own country somehow represents racism and bigotry and intolerance, that's nonsense. And yeah, that's right. Again, when I was growing up, we were taught you be proud in your country. And yes, there's other countries out there, and they're wonderful too, but this is your country. You take pride in it. And now we're being told today, taking pride in your country is somehow racist and intolerant.
Yeah, it's just this political correctness idiocy has got people actually afraid to actually voice their opinions on something.
Well, that's what it's designed to do. I mean, political correctness is cultural Marxism. It's an attempt to swindle us into acting like we don't have freedom of speech anymore on the theory that anything that we say might offend anybody on planet Earth. But you cannot have freedom of speech without offending somebody. Because no matter what you say, there's going to be somebody out there whose entire sense of self-worth is based on always finding things to be offended by, and they're going to be offended by you.
Yeah, and just before I go, I just let people know that the decisions are not made by the people you vote for in Europe. You have a European Commission. Nobody
yes.
knows who these people are, and they're the ones who ultimately makes the political decisions that is going to impact upon your life.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's this wonderful feature-length film, Brexit the Movie, and that's a point they keep hammering home. The European Union Parliament is a pretext to make it look like there's some kind of democracy, but they actually can't pass any laws. They can't repeal any laws. All the decisions are made by those EU commissioners, and Mikhail Gorbachev is right. It's a modern incarnation of the old Soviet Union. When you see the European Union commissioners, think the Politburo, unelected, chosen among themselves, ruling the union with an iron fist, and out to destroy the middle class as a potential threat to their power and authority.
Hey, you're absolutely correct, Mike. All right, thanks.
All right, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. Now, let's see. I'm looking at the latest headlines coming on in, and apparently the latest poll from Great Britain has Brexit 7 points ahead of Remain. And 10 of Britain's most distinguished retired military officers call for the leave vote. So it could be a landslide. And if they try and reverse a landslide or they ignore the will of the people, that we could actually see a revolution inside Great Britain. And the big question would be, would the European Union literally, militarily invade Great Britain to keep it in the Union the way Abraham Lincoln invaded the Confederacy? Because it's a similar situation. When the American Civil War began, when the Confederacy seceded, they were the lion's share of tax revenues going to Washington, D.C. And Abraham Lincoln couldn't let that go away. They were desperate for that money. The EU is the same way. Germany and Great Britain right now are the only economies capable of propping that whole mess up. Everybody else is in serious trouble. If Great Britain succeeds in breaking free, Germany's going to follow. So, it's going to be exciting. I'll tell you right now, they're going to try and steal that election the way they rigged the election for Scottish independence. If it's a landslide, it's going to be very hard for them to do that. And again, Parliament's already come on out and said, well, it's non-binding. We're going to do what we want to do. And what I keep getting from people who are writing me from Great Britain is there's a palpable anger in the air. And remember, there was some kind of a civil disorder near London in a borough called Barker. And they didn't talk about it. They've stopped talking about the riots and protests in France. They don't want you to realize that ordinary people around the world have reached the breaking point. So we'll see what happens. I hope Brexit wins. For a wide variety of reasons, but we know the people who want the Brexit and the EU and the New World Order are desperate, and they are people who are willing to do anything, anything to get what they want. Vote rigging, assassination, war, that's what they're like. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
Would you like freedom from health insurance? You're not alone. Whether you're self-employed, a small business owner, or an individual who purchases health care for yourself and your family, Liberty Health Share could be the answer. Liberty Health Share has united a community of like-minded people that actually share health care costs. And Liberty Health Share members are exempt from IRS penalties associated with the Affordable Care Act. Imagine freedom from insurance. You choose your own doctor and hospital. Your medical provider simply submits your bills to Liberty HealthShare for processing. Why wait? You do have choices. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Find out more and get a free monthly estimate right now. For a limited time, use promo code TALK to save $50 when you enroll. Go to libertyhealthshare.com/options. That's libertyhealthshare.com/options.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And not too long ago, I did a video called What Are They Thinking? And it was produced for a conference on health and wellness and anti-aging. And it was very well received. And the video basically talked about how, due to the profit motive, our world is rapidly becoming hostile to health and even life in humans. Now, we've had that Flint water disaster, which we now understand is happening all across the country. And now there's this article coming out of Investment Watch blog, brain-damaging heavy metal mercury is being found in grocery products made with high fructose corn syrup. Now, high fructose corn syrup is one of those chemicals that manufacturers love because it's inexpensive, it's very sweet, and it lasts a very long time on shelves. Now, the industry likes to say it's just like sugar. No, it is not. And there are some health concerns with it. The newest being, of course, that somehow along the process, mercury is getting into it. Now, I know that high fructose corn syrup is not the same as regular sugar. We have a lot of sugar here in Hawaii, sugarcane. I don't have any problem with that. If I eat or drink anything with high fructose corn syrup in it, I immediately get a hypoglycemic attack. I have to stay away from it. At my age, the list of things I'm allowed to eat is a lot smaller than the list of things I can't eat. Something that you can all look forward to when you get to be my age. But really, the safety of the food and the water and the medicines just isn't a priority when you have a society that has been corrupted by banker greed. Right now in the United States, courtesy of the Food and Drug Administration, the allowable limit of glyphosate in U.S. food is 300 times higher than it is in Taiwan, which we're all told is this horrible dictatorship. Now, it's not just the glyphosate sprayed on the crops in the field. They'll spray produce with glyphosate before it ships to the store because it actually acts as a preservative. They're even spraying the cotton used in women's feminine hygiene products with glyphosate, despite the fact that the World Health Organization is out there saying this is probably a carcinogen. But that's okay. If you get cancer, you know, we've got all these cancer medicines and treatments and radiation and chemotherapy that we can sell you. Mark Twain once wrote a short story, The Corruption of The Man Who Corrupted Hadleyburg. I think it's time to go back and reread that one here. Speaking of political correctness run amok, over in Great Britain, feminists have launched a campaign to block the British justice system from prosecuting women who make false accusations of rape. And they're responding to the fact that over the last 5 years, 109 women have been convicted of falsely making a rape accusation. And it's thought the number of such false accusations may be much higher. Back during the 1990s, during the manufactured rape crisis, the FBI's supplemental crime statistics showed that rape was the second most falsely reported crime in the nation. And the British model is they'll prosecute women for making a false rape accusation only in cases where the accused man was actually locked up, thrown in jail. And the UK feminists are saying, you shouldn't do that. It's okay for women to make false accusations of rape. You shouldn't arrest them for doing that. And it's rather interesting because feminists in the US did the same thing back in the 1990s. This idea that women would be immune for accusing a man of rape. There was one very famous case, a guy by the name of Gary Dotson. And I forget the name of his accuser. And what it was, she was a young girl, and she was having sex with her boyfriend, and still living with her parents, and her mother noticed some telltale signs doing the laundry. And this girl didn't want to admit she was having sex, so she went out and just picked a guy at random, and he spent 6 years in jail. And now thought, okay, it happens, but we shouldn't prosecute the women who do this. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
years, radio has been at the forefront of new technology. Ham radio operators around the world will have their annual Field Day event June 25th and 26th. Field Day is the national open house of amateur radio, and you are invited. Come be a part of the science, skill, and service ham radio brings to your community. Find a Field Day site near you at www.arrl.org/fieldday.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, welcome back to our show here. And over the commercial break, I was looking at the We Hate Donald Trump Network, and they're running this story with the banner headline, North Korean Aggression. And underneath that, the subtitle, North Korea Launches Ballistic Missile. Makes it almost sound like we're under attack. Oh my goodness, North Korea's launched a ballistic missile. The mushrooms are going to be sprouting. It was a test. It was a test launch. All countries that are developing missile arsenals have to test fire them to make sure that they work. Now, here in Hawaii, the next island over that away is Kauai. And they have the Pacific Missile Test Range there. And they're always firing missiles off of that. And you don't see China getting on the media saying, United States aggression, they've fired a ballistic missile. See, the U.S. still wants a war with China, and they're looking at Korea as possibly being their backdoor. Because the enemy of all that we hold dear in the United States of America is that Chinese gold-backed yuan. And it's a threat and a danger. Your children will have to go kill them for us. Alrighty, getting on back to the news. We're talking about how feminists in Great Britain are lobbying the government to never prosecute women who falsely accuse men of rape, even in cases where the men have been sent to jail. And we saw the same thing here in the United States back in the 1990s with a militant feminist movement where rape was such a serious crime, even innocence couldn't be used as a defense. And you had Catherine Comans, the assistant dean of student activity at Vassar, was quoted in Time magazine saying that a false accusation of rape was a good experience for a man to have to go through. Which is utterly, utterly ridiculous. But they actually turned being a rape victim into stardom. I mean, if you had a really colorful rape story, like the Davis, California rape story, you got on Oprah, you got on Donahue, and the fact that the Davis rape scandal turned out to be another hoax, well, that's not important. We'll just go on to the next one. There was actually a T-shirt that was being sold, potential rape victim, that women could wear to sort of cash in on the victimhood. You had Susan Brownmiller out there saying all men are rapists and that's all they are. Talk about mongering hate. And all the people behind this militant feminism, they made a lot of money, speaking tours, books, TV appearances, and they retired happy. And the backlash was so severe, they actually caused a lot more damage. Because so many police departments were sued over wrongful arrests and constitutional violations, they didn't even dare listen to the real victims after that. There's a very good book on the subject. It's called Who Stole Feminism by Christine Hobbs Summers. And she's a feminist herself. And she documented the transition from equity feminism, which we all supported. Equal pay for equal work, equal access to education, equal access to credit. Nobody could argue with that. And she documents how it was hijacked by political opportunists and turned into gender feminism. Men against women, and the men are bad and the women are good. Men should always cast their eyes downward when approaching a woman, so she won't be afraid. And it really got ridiculous, and now Great Britain's starting to go through that whole thing. We're going to take a phone call. George in Texas, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, how you doing, Mike? I could tell you one thing. I was about 20 years ago falsely accused of rape, and I will tell you one thing. It was a traumatic experience, and the girl wind up did going to jail for filing a false report over that.
Well, good. Anybody who falsely accuses somebody of a crime, knowingly, I mean, people make mistakes. Let's not get on their case. But somebody who knowingly sets somebody up to go to jail for his or her own motives, yeah, they ought to go to prison. You know, in that Gary Dotson case, like I was mentioning, the girl, and I don't remember her name, was having sex with her boyfriend. Her mother twigged on to the fact, and rather than admit that she was having sex with her boyfriend, she said, oh, I got raped, and that guy did it. And what was really absurd was the guy actually had an airtight alibi, and he still got sent to jail for 6 years.
Well, in my case, it's like at least the police officers were good and seasoned, female police officers, and you know, the thing is, I was never booked into jail or anything, and I was sitting there at the scene of investigation. And they're starting to find holes in her story. And the thing is, more like the reason why they didn't book me or take me to jail, because they didn't want my name in the paper. You know how you, even though you're accused, your name's in the paper, and I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're trying to pull that on Donald Trump right now. I mean, there's this lady claiming that she was raped by Donald Trump on Epstein's Island when she was 13 years old, and she filed a lawsuit in California that was thrown out. Now she's filing a lawsuit in another state, and it'll probably get thrown out. But the purpose is so that Hillary can go out and say, well, you know, forget about what Bill Clinton did. Look what Donald Trump did. He's just as evil and vile and so forth and so on. And, you know, who really knows at this point? Again, this is clearly a smear job. But this idea that feminists are saying that women who falsely accuse men of rape should not be punished, that's absurd. What they're doing is they're handing women a weapon with which they can bludgeon people. And we saw this not only with rape, but just the accusation of sexual harassment. And we saw a lot of women who would get ahead in the corporate environment by claiming this or that man had sexually harassed her. And Michael Crichton actually wrote a book about that called Disclosure that was actually made into a movie. about that very, very thing, about predatory women using sex to gain an advantage over a competitor and get rid of them.
Well, you know, thing, speaking of Donald Trump, I was sitting here listening to conservative radio, and I'm glad I had the application in the car, like RBN application. I can listen to you while driving the car, and they're sitting here, going, Texans are pretty sore over how Donald Trump treated Ted Cruz, and it's like, Ted Cruz is a liar. And these people are still hanging on that Ted Cruz was the only choice.
Ted Cruz does not qualify to be president under the Constitution of the United States of America, period, end of story. Everybody who supports him is not only a traitor to the Constitution of the United States of America, they're setting up Hillary to win the White House. Because if Trump is kicked out of the Republican nomination and it doesn't trigger a revolution, and they put Ted Cruz in, Hillary's lawyers will be at the Supreme Court the very next day pointing out Ted Cruz was born in Canada of parents who were Canadian citizens at the time. Because he was born out of wedlock, he does not qualify for birthright citizenship because his mother's from Delaware. He does not qualify as a natural-born U.S. citizen.
Well, you know, that's the thing is, it's like got so many people in Texas just hanging on to Ted. I'm like, and the thing is, this Republican convention, I really think the establishment's really underestimating the people. I think they're really underestimating them.
Well, again, we're seeing so many places that are on the edge of violent uprising. France, Great Britain, and I keep hearing more and more anger in these phone calls and in these emails I'm getting. And it's a really, really ugly situation.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'll let you wrap up your show.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Nancy in California. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, I read a speech by Christina Hoff Sommers over 20 years ago. She talked about the equity feminist versus what it was becoming, this gender feminism. And to the best of my ability, she basically quoted, what it was she was an associate professor, and the feminists contacted her and wanted her to incorporate their teachings into her curriculum. And when she reviewed it, she was astounded to find that they lauded the day when you would no more recognize the sex of the person you were romantically involved with any more than you would recognize the color of their eyes. They talked about men carrying babies, and it was just twisted.
It really, really was. And I remember there was one of these militant feminists, Andrea Dworkin, who basically came on out, and she'd written a book called Andrea One, which was this fantasy about an abused woman who killed her attacker and just killed men. And Dworkin was literally out there saying that women should randomly kill men to put them in their place, and she was getting these standing ovations, and it was just really kind of a sick thing to be looking at.
They looked forward to the day when, with the miracle of science, men would be able to carry babies. It was just sick. Anyway,
yeah.
I really enjoy your program.
Okay, and I just want to clarify something on here, okay? I can't speak for all men, but I'm envious of women being able to have kids. that's the reality. And
mm-hmm.
If you look at all the really, really early religions, they were always centered on women because women had that power of creation. And, of course, and that was
men
that whole big...
Men contribute to that.
Well, yeah, about, 7-8 minutes or something like that.
More than that, a lot of their DNA.
No, we do contribute, and, of course, the burden of supporting... and feeding the family does fall on us as well. But a lot of the stuff that came out with the militant feminists really was absurd in the extreme. It really, really was. Okay, Nancy, we're going to let you go.
One woman say, I carried that baby for 9 months. And then the husband said, and I will carry it for the next 18 years.
Yeah, that absolutely. Look, you really can't change nature. You shouldn't be mucking about with it. And, at some point you have to realize the real world is the ultimate trump card over political correctness. You cannot change the universe, with some PC theorizing. All you can do is make things worse, like Margaret Mead did with that hoax book, Coming of Age in Samoa. And look at all the damage it has caused.
Yeah, to imagine what they would like to create is a pretty horrifying thought.
It really, really is. All right, Nancy, we're going to let you go here. And once again, the bad people are trying to hack my server, which only proves that there's something here they don't want you to see. Now then, getting on back to this feminist extremist nonsense. And again, I want to be clear. When it was all about equity feminism, I was a supporter. I donated. I volunteered at their events because it's an idea that I think anybody can get behind. But it is a truism in our society that what happens is somebody will come up with a really good idea, and then it gets hijacked and turned into a racket by opportunists. And that's exactly what happened to the equity feminists. And they got turned into the gender feminists, and they became militant and started screaming, all men are rapists. And rather than empowering women, they actually reinforced going back to playing victim and helpless. And it really was ridiculous. So anyway, another story on that same situation from LibertyFight.com. An advocate is now warning, male domestic violence victims should not seek help in San Diego or anywhere else. And it's true, there's a double standard. When a husband is physically assaulting his wife, he's going to go to jail. And let's be honest, he probably should. When a wife physically assaults the husband, the police treat it like it's a joke, like your Dagwood from the Blondie comic strip. And I actually went through that myself. When my first marriage was starting to break up, my first wife hit me over the back of the head with a cast iron skillet. My best one, by the way. And anybody who cooks knows how long it takes to properly cure a cast iron skillet. And rather than take action, which would have put me in jail, I called the police. And I'm the victim of assault and battery by my wife, and I got laughed at. And yet the actual numbers are that among the white population, wives initiate violence against husbands just as often as husbands against wives. And in the black population, for some reason, the women outnumber the men. All right, let's grab some phone calls. Scott in California, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Good to have you back on OBN.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I caught this story on G. Edward Griffin's site. It's titled Need to Know. That's G. Edward Griffin's site. That's the name of it, is Need to Know. And
yes,
he has a story on there about this guy who popped up and turned himself into the Santa Monica police station and said he was involved with that Orlando shooter guy, that they were part of a CIA-trained team. And
yes,
when he learned that Omar Katt died, he turned himself in. Have you run across that?
Oh, yeah, we reported on it when it happened, and of course the FBI came on in and took over the investigation, and at that point, the original police report was altered to remove his mention of additional perpetrators, and it's being lauded as a classic case of how the police and the government are able to thwart terror attacks in the planning stage by virtue of NSA spying and the rest of the stuff. But no, this guy basically came on out and said he'd known Omar Mateen. They actually trained for this operation at a camp together. And the report went viral, and the FBI grabbed it. And I want to make a point here. The FBI did not actually have jurisdiction to grab this case because the guy turned himself into Santa Monica Police, and there was no terror act actually committed. It didn't cross a state line. It didn't happen on federal property. But anytime there's something happening that's an embarrassment to the United States government, the FBI will come on in and grab it and cover it all up. They did it with the Vince Foster case. They did it in Oklahoma City bombing. Little story from that. The gentleman who married Claire and I was a good family friend, was also a minister, was actually near Oklahoma City when the bombing happened. And he drove over to volunteer, helping to dig for survivors. And there were literally three nested cordons around the remains of the Murrah building. He had to show his ID three times to get there. And when he was in there, he saw all these people in suits, not looking for survivors, but just grabbing paperwork and shoving it in plastic bags and taking it away.
Yeah. Yep, I talked to a young guy who was there that day, and he told me that they had stopped the rescue efforts for 4 hours until afternoon, and he was there because they were pulling bombs out of the building.
Yeah, and that was actually reported on the corporate media as well.
Boy. Okay, Michael, thank you. That story blows my mind about this guy goes into the Santa Monica Police Department. You think that would make the news or something?
Oh, of course not. Remember, corporate media's job is to, make the official story what you believe. They're failing miserably, but that's what they're trying to do. Let's switch over to Alan in Texas. Aloha, Alan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Michael. Yeah, Oklahoma City. Yeah, I was living in...
Oh, wait a minute. We got to take a break for commercials. Stay on the line. I'll come right back to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. Ronnie here reminding you that June is Health Awareness Month, sponsored by GetTheTea.com. Many of you have heard our tea commercial, maybe visited the website, but haven't committed because, well, you just don't know. Skeptical. We understand. Just to remind you, our tea is not just tea. In fact, very little tea. Life Change Tea is a unique blend of 8 different herbs, removing intruders that attack your health. You brew our tea to make the concentrate, you add water, and put in the fridge. 2 8-ounce glasses a day, and life will be good. Visit us at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And this month is lots of fun stuff with Health Awareness Month. You could be picked and receive your order absolutely free. You never know. Read the testimonies and try our products. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And for great health tips, visit my YouTube channel at Health Matters Now, where you can learn about health tips and how products work on your body. Join me, GetTheTea.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to Alan. And Alan, you had something else. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick about that Oklahoma City. You know, like I said, I lived in Fort Smith, Arkansas at that time. And, you know, that's only a couple hours from Oklahoma City. And I remember when they suspended the operations, they said, "We're suspending operations because we found more bombs in the building." You know, and I said, "More bombs in the building?" You know, so that, but while it really called about, was about this women being able to call and accuse. A good friend of mine from high school was living with a woman. She'd been married before and particularly didn't want to get married again, but he was basically her husband, I mean. And, you know, she had a daughter. And at one point, his name is Don Post, and he caught her trying to sneak out of the house one evening to go see this boy. You know, he knew she was trying to go see this boy down the block. And, you know, he got onto her and punished her. Well, she proceeded to call 911 and tell the police department that he was molesting her. And all this went around. Everyone that knew Don knew that there was no way in hell that he was molesting this little girl. You know, Don was a good guy. He was a little wild, but he lived life the way he wanted to, and, you know, he didn't have any malice towards anyone, and ended up hanging himself. And I talked to his wife, the mother of the daughter. I talked to her afterwards, and she said, "Don," she said, "the last thing he said to me was, no matter what, even if I'm acquitted of all these charges, I'll always be an accused child molester." So he couldn't put up with that. He was a good guy, and he hung himself in their backyard over an accusation that wasn't true.
Well, there were a lot of those horror stories there. You know, when I was much younger, I got hit with a false rape accusation. It went nowhere because the girl in question had been claiming that she was raped by everybody, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the bus driver, the garbage man. And, you know, at that point, the police had stopped listening to her. But and again, this behavior was being encouraged by the militant feminists. Anyway, listen, Alan, I need to let you go. We're almost out of time here. And I do want to mention John Stadmiller's coming up here with his show following mine. And apparently he's got some real hot topics. He's calling it a barn burner. Communitarianism apparently is the subject. I just got word on that, so you're going to want to stay tuned for Stadmiller's show on that. Final story that we have here, interesting article coming out of AnonHQ.com. As you know, it's now becoming acknowledged that marijuana does have positive medicinal benefits. It actually stimulates your brain cells to grow, whereas alcohol will kill them off. But if you watch how much you drink, only the weak ones. And it turns out the reason there has been so little research on this, it's been deliberately blocked by the DEA. And the problem with marijuana from the point of view of governments and corporations is you can grow it in your backyard, which means you're not buying alcohol from the distillers and brewers. You're not buying cigarettes and cigars from the tobacco corporations. They can't make money off of you if you're growing something in your own backyard. And that's how government controls and exploits you. Take away anything you can do for yourself and then sell it to you. Remember what I said about the Declaration of Independence being relevant today? That's another example. There's the music. Time for me to get out of here and make way for John Stadmiller. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, stay skeptical. Make good choices. Share what you know with everybody that you know. Thanks for all the donations to WhatReallyHappened.com. We really do need the help. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out! That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now there's a better way to remove these dangers and odors. It's with the computerized Wave Moisture Control Unit that reduces moisture and expels pollutants.
We replaced our old dehumidifier with the Wave Unit, and in only 3 weeks, our basement is dry and the musty smell is gone.
Wave units require no maintenance, no buckets of water or filters, and costs only pennies a day to run. Breathe better, live healthier with an affordable, no-maintenance Wave unit. Call 888-618-WAVE, 888-618-WAVE, or visit mydryhome.com, mydryhome.com.
Ride the wave, Wave Home Solutions, for a healthy, comfortable home.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.